Hi, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia.
And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners.
And we're just following our dreams, you know, working to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right. And we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, everyone. Hi, Super Mamas. Welcome back to your favorite podcast, Super Mamas Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Bricia Lopez. I am Paulina's sister. I'm a mom of two. My sister's making me laugh.
Hi, everyone. I'm Paulina, the other co-host of your favorite podcast. I am a mom of three girls, and I cannot... I cannot count to three with my fingers, apparently. Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood. If you are new to the show, welcome, ladies. Welcome. And for our all-time listeners, what's up, ladies? Just here trying to put up my fingers. If you don't do so already, please follow us on Instagram and Twitter at _SuperMamas, on Facebook on Super Mamas Podcast, and supermamas.com on the web. You can also send us an email at hello@supermamas.com or call us at 424-326-3707. And don't forget to stay tuned at the end of the show for our hashtag add to cart, Supermama pick our tip of the week. What's up, sister? Dude, I cannot look. This is some serious thing. I cannot count to three with my fingers.
I think you should do like an Instagram story so people understand what you're talking about. I'm looking at you through a screen, so I totally understand what you're saying, but I don't even know what to say.
I you know how like you can count 1, 2, 3? Look, when I do the first finger, it goes up straight. Second finger goes up straight. When I do the third finger, all the three of them curve for some reason.
Which would be, is that your ring finger?
My ring finger.
When you put your ringer finger up along with your middle finger and your index finger together, your fingers start doing this weird, crooked situation. So you can't have... I mean, my fingers straight. Yeah, my fingers
are straight. Yeah, your fingers are straight. Look at this.
I don't even know what to say.
Anyway, I have short fingers. What's up, Bricia?
Nothing. What's going on with you?
Trying to lift my three fingers at the same time. Not much. I mean,
I heard your husband's getting snipped. I want to hear about that. Is that really happening? Is it really happening?
He has his appointment next Monday. We've been waiting for over a year because of the pandemic, and last week they called him, and I mean today he started sending me baby pictures of our kids, talking about like, aren't they cute? I'm like, yeah. I mean, yesterday we had dinner.
Wait, are you pregnant? Is that why he's getting fixed?
No, I'm not pregnant. No. Actually, yesterday, our brother and our sister Elizabeth came, and our brother Fernando. The whole afternoon, we were talking about babies. The whole afternoon. I mean, they don't have babies. Our brother is just recently married, like a year and a half ago. 2 years, right? Almost 2 years. Our sister Elizabeth is engaged to be married. So, you know, the conversation about babies was strong the whole afternoon. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to hear that I pulled out my umbilical cord and they were grossed out.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I was like, I
mean, like you're, what do you mean your umbilical cord?
Because I, when Sixto was born at home, I actually, you know, put my placenta in pills and they also kept my umbilical cord. And as a keepsake, it's like a, you know, it's a keepsake.
A keepsake?
Yeah. Have you never seen it?
No, I've heard of so many keepsakes. Like I've heard people like keep their baby's hair, their first nail trimmings.
Well, this is the umbilical cord.
This is the first time I hear someone keeping an umbilical cord as a keepsake.
Well, it's not actually. I don't know what they did to it, but it doesn't look gross. And so we were talking about babies all
the
time.
Wait,
afternoon.
What do you mean?
So well. we were talking like one of our brothers.
Wait, when you say you pulled out an umbilical cord, what do you mean? Like, okay, so I'm imagining like a big old tripa that you take out of your fridge and you're like, look, guys.
No. I have it in a nice little bag, and you know, they gave it to me.
What do you mean a nice? Wait, how nice is this bag? Like, does it have rhinestones in it?
No.
It's como a Ziploc bag.
No, it's one of those like little Yute bags, like that had little.
Oh my God, what?
What?
You wait, never... is it not in the fridge?
No, why would it be in the fridge? It's not like it's raw. It's like dried, I would say. I mean, they, you know, they gave it to me to like in a like cute shape, like, you know, this was like with the baby, and I've had it there forever. Like, it's just been there to me.
Does something... it smell bad?
No, of course not. It's just like a, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like a dead, it's like a dried piece of, it's a dry piece of umbilical cord. It's a, it's the umbilical cord. They dried it up and they gave it to me.
How long is this umbilical cord?
It's probably, I mean, I don't even, it's probably, I don't know. You know, when I make
it like 3 inches?
No, when I make a circle with my hand, it's the size, but it's like, ¿cómo se dice?
Enrollado. A spiral?
A spiral. It's a spiral. But it's not, I have to take a picture of it and put and post it because it's, it, I mean, to me, it doesn't look gross. It just, it is what it is.
So you have a piece of dried intestine.
No.
In a bag.
It's
that you keep as a keepsake.
Yes. It's a connection to my baby. Anyway, I pulled it out yesterday and they were like grossed out. And we were
when you say you pulled it out, did you like take it out of the string or what do you mean you pulled it out?
I don't even know how to explain it. You have to see it. But
it's
any-
it's a piece of dried intestine.
No, it's a piece of umbilical cord. It's not an intestine. The intestines are huge. It's an umbilical cord.
She's like, where's my umbilical cord? It's okay. So they came over.
They came over babies, all afternoon. I pulled an umbilical cord. And so I just realized, I really realized that I'm like, no, I'm past like, they're still talking about birds, like the birth and like the first month. And like, you know, one of my, our brother's friends like had a whole issue with her baby and the other friend's pregnant. So they're going through. And I was like, oh my God, no. Mm-mm. Done. Been there, done that. Don't want that no more. No. This time when we were talking about having conversation about babies, I was like, I am good. I'm good.
This time, not the last time. This time specifically. Last time you still felt like a little bit, or no. This time was like the one?
No, I mean, this time I mean after this third baby. That's what I mean. Like, I'm good.
Well, I mean, I've been like, oh, last conversation. I was still thinking about it, but like this time of this conversation was, what was so different about this conversation that made you like not have a baby and you not want to have a baby?
I just, I'm no, que flojera. I just don't want to go through that whole situation anymore. Like the birth and like the first months and like, you know, like what's going to happen with my baby and like, no. I'm like, I'm good. The kids are a little bit more independent now. I'm good. So my husband is getting snipped next week. He sounds pretty like, oh yeah, yeah. You know, I'm going to go in the morning and I'll be back. And then, you know, I'm going to take the day off and then that's it. I'm like, okay. I don't want him to get scared. I'm like, it's going to be simple. Like you could do it in a lunch break. Like I told him, remember we always said that, like mm-hmm. lunch over lunch. So he's cool. We'll see how it goes. So that's it. It's the end of a cycle. It's the end of a cycle for us. It's done. It's here. It's a week away. So finally.
Well, that's great. I feel like that's the way it should be done as opposed to women, you know, worrying about it all the time. Like men have to take responsibility, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and I'm glad that he's open to it. You know, he's been open to it since day one. The pandemic happened. And so that's why it took so long. But now that it's here and they called him, he still seems like pretty much on board.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I mean, you know, let him go through it. Maybe your husband will be like, oh, look, I can do it too.
Yeah, maybe he can start a revolution.
I mean, why not? Right? I mean, honestly, I'm going to say out of my married friends, probably 60% of the husbands have done the surgery.
Hmm.
It's not like, it's not a, I was surprised. Yeah, I was surprised because we asked and like, they were like, oh, I did it. Like, there's been a lot of guys that do it. So it's not like, I think that's why when we started talking about it, he actually went for it because there were some, a lot of guys that, you know, encouraged him to do it. It wasn't only
that's
me.
Awesome.
Yeah. It wasn't only me. It was like a lot of guys, a lot of men that talked
to
him.
Well, I'm sure the moms will have lots of questions, and I hope we can have your husband on the show and he can tell us all about it, how he felt, what he's going through.
He can cry on the show. What about you? You are leaving.
Yes, I'm out of here. I'm going on a family vacation, which I'm so excited about. My son is counting on the days. He is so excited. Yeah, I'm excited. It's our first family trip. So yay, we're leaving the baby behind. Which in the beginning, I just didn't even think that that was an option. I just thought, oh, family, like the four of us.
Yeah.
Then my husband made me realize that probably wouldn't be a good idea. Because she's still under one and, you know, we're going to the beach and we want to enjoy ourselves and I want to rest. And also I think it's a good time for us to just give Eddie our full attention.
Yeah.
And yeah. And I'm sure when she gets older, you know, she can start coming along. I mean, Eddie didn't come on vacation with us until he was three. Then we started kind of like traveling with him, like as a family. It was when we took vacation, it was mostly just my husband and I, which is also like another lifestyle that I think like a lot of people are different, right? Have different opinions and different perspectives on, which is great. My husband and I are very like, I'm totally okay to travel without children, but I know there are couples that will not travel without their children, no matter how old they are. So I think
that's not me. I'm like,
yeah, no. Yeah, no, I think it's just like, so my mom is just such a incredible, she's like MVP. She's so awesome. She's staying with the baby and I'm going with my son. So the three of us are going to the beach.
That's awesome. Yeah, because if not, and I mean, your baby's in a really tight schedule. So you would have to, you and a lot of the thing would be on you, right? So you would have to be
in
the room. Yeah. You have to be like in the room. I have to go back. I have to put her to bed. I have to diaper. And then you wouldn't really enjoy the vacation. So that's
That's what my husband said. It's like, I just do it mostly for you because I know that you are not going to relax. You are going to be the one that's going to be running around and Eddie's going to be like, daddy, daddy, let's go to the beach. Daddy, let's wipe out. And you're going to be like with the baby.
Yeah. And or like, that, oh, yes, it came more. Yes, you know, the sun, the this, and that. Like, you have to feed her.
She's crying. It's too hot. What is she going to eat? You know what I mean? She's like in that stage now where she wants to grab everything. So, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be the end of the world if she came with us, but I think it's like, it's going to be amazing.
And it's going to be great. Yeah. And for you guys to spend time with Eddie, I think it's like, I think he's going to like be super happy.
Yeah, he's so excited. He's so excited. Every day he wakes up. The first thing he says when he wakes up is like, Mommy, two more days. Mommy, can we talk about vacation, what we're going to do there again? Mom, tell me everything we're going to do on vacation. Mom, tell me what we're going to eat. We already know what we're going to eat every single day. We already know what we're going to eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We already looked at all the menus. We already know where we're going for dinner, where we're having lunch, what we're ordering. We already have it all. We already have, when we sit down, we already know what we're going to order. We're not going to be looking at the menu. We already know.
That's so funny. I'm going on a family trip in a few weeks and I've watched probably like 5 videos of base places to eat over there because exactly. I'm like, I'm all about the food. Where are we going to eat? What are we going to try? What are the new things that we're going to eat? I'm like, we're going to go there and let's make sure that when we go do this activity, we are close to this restaurant and we got to eat in this place. And in this, like, it's all about food. It's all about the food.
Yeah. But you're more like adventure person. We're not, we're just like, we're like in, like we're not leaving our compound. We're like, where we are and that's it.
I think eventually you will once they're older.
Maybe. I mean, you know, He's already six.
Well, maybe someday.
Okay, so who do we have on the show today?
We have today on the show, it's going to be, it's what, actually talking about our kids. It's one of our kids' favorite people, I'm going to say right now. We have the amazing Michelle Zamora, AKA Waffles, from Waffles and Mochi. Can you tell us a little bit more about her, Priscia?
Yeah, of course. Aside from being an incredible human being, she is the CEO and creative director of Viva La Puppet, which celebrates life through inanimate objects and brings together great people to create magical moments one puppet at a time. Most recently, she worked on set for the Zedd and Katy Perry's 365 video. She obviously is Waffles and Waffles and Mochi. She's led the Truth Puppet campaign with 72 and Sunny and the 2019 Super Bowl commercial. My gosh, she's puppeteered with Terry Crews for Old Spice and managed perform the Funner Than Water ad for Vitamin Water. So, I mean, she has been all over the world, you know, traveled the globe puppeteering and following her dreams and following her life. And I could not think of a more inspiring person and story than Michelle. And, you know, she taught us so much about just feeding our joy and really following our joy rather than following our dream, which was absolutely beautiful. And you are all going to love this interview so much. So without further ado, here is our interview with
Michelle Zamora from Viva La Pup.
Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Hey, dude, thanks for having me.
AKA Waffles and Mochi. Waffles are AKA Waffles, not Waffles and Mochi, AKA Waffles. Wait, that's do true. You work with your husband?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've known my husband since we were 16.
Stop. But yes, you, wow. you both work together, correct? You both founded your company. There's so much to talk about. There's so much to talk about.
I know.
First, I just want to say congratulations. I think it's so huge and just monumental, and the fact that, you know, we have a Latina in the industry and you are representing, girl, and not just representing, but like doing it better than anyone. It is such an honor, such a pleasure. And you must feel so proud of yourself. And you must feel so good, so much hard work. I'm sure it hasn't been easy. So I just want to say congratulations, girl.
Thank you. Thank you so much. A lot to talk about.
So first of all, let's start by you telling us who you are, what you do, who you've been quarantining with, and how has this year been for you, because it's been monumental, as my sister said,
wild.
For you.
Yeah. I started puppetry, I think at a very young age, just, you know, playing with my dolls with my sister. I'm originally from Brownsville, Texas. So RGB, woo woo. and my parents always encouraged us to play, and no matter what, we would just take out when our family got a VHS recorder, we were like, oh my God, we can make movies. This is amazing. So we would play all the time. And I mean, me and my sister lived in the same house our whole lives. And it was like, my parents are both school teachers, and they were school teachers. They're retired now, but we would just always be encouraged to express ourselves creatively. And my mom, she never really, you know, told us a certain way to do things. Like, she's an artist too. She went to art school and stuff, but she never really taught us technique or what to do. She would just let us figure it out ourselves. So because of that, I think I turn into the person that I am today, which is reconnecting with that side of myself that always just found joy in playing, always just found joy in bringing things to life, just bringing my toys to life, bringing my dolls to life, making puppets at an early age. And growing up in Brownsville, Texas, I never thought that, you know, one day when I grow up, I can be a puppeteer, because it's just not a profession over there, you know?
Yeah.
But when I first moved out to LA right after high school, I started to see, like, my world was opening up. I was just experiencing a whole new world. And I just woke up one day in college at Cal State LA and I said, I want to make a puppet. And from then on, I just kind of kept listening and feeding that inner voice.
That is so interesting. I hear you talk about how your parents raised you. And I'm always so curious, right, about like what makes a person. And it, as a mother, it just like gives me, I'm not going to lie, it gives me some pressure. And I'm thinking back of like what I'm doing with my kids. I'm like, am I encouraging their artistic side? I'm like, I'm zero artistic. So I'm sure I'm not encouraging that. But it's just so interesting to hear you talk about, you know, what your parents did. So from now on, I'm going to let them, you know, do their thing. Because they play. Sure. They pretend that they have YouTube channels for some reason, right?
Like
everything is like, hi, hello, guys. Right now, blah, 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 blah. Hi, guys. And I'm like, who are these guys that you're talking to? Because it's just literally my phone. but tell us about how your puppet company came to be. I know you have Viva La Puppet. I love that name, by the way.
Viva La Puppet.
Viva La Puppet. So how did that come to be?
So right after college, when I graduated, I was in my dorm room and I had a little like breakdown because I was crying. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. And my mom was there with me. And I remember this particular moment where I don't know what I want to do. I want to act, but you know, going to auditions every day, it's not fulfilling. And she said, Michelle, just look around you. And I looked around my dorm room and there was just like all these puppets that I had made, you know, and they were hanging up. And it's like, clearly, she's like, clearly you know what you should be doing. And for a parent to be able to recognize that and encourage that as specific as being a puppeteer can be, you know, like I didn't have a roadmap. She didn't have a roadmap, but she knew and she understand passion and joy. And she knew that's a fulfilling life. Go for that, you know, and because of her and my dad always yes anding my dreams, you know, as they came up, it's kind of what created Viva La Puppet. After I graduated, I would make a puppet for whoever wanted it. I was so excited to just have like any theater, production just say, hey, we don't have, it's low budget, we don't have any money, but, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'll do it, I want to learn, I want to do it. So I started from just, you know, my one bedroom apartment with my husband making puppets on the ground in our living room with glue gun stains everywhere, you know, like we just used what we had. And I just kept harnessing my skills and learning from the masters here in LA and people, whoever I can learn from. And then Viva La Puppet kind of came out of that. Like eventually, you know, it took over and it became our full-time job. And in the beginning, I understand like working with your husband is like, oh God, I could never work with my husband or whatnot. But we had an agreement. We were like, you know what? This might not work. We're going to try it out. Let's see. Let's see if we can do this and we can work well together and grow together. And we did. It just was a natural thing. And now it's all we do full time with Viva La Puppet.
That's amazing. I'm thinking back about your parents, because, you know, being Latinos, we always want to push our kids to have a profession, right? Like, you know, tienes que ser un abogado, or you have to, you know, have to be a doctor, or you have to be this. Mm-hmm. Like, our culture is not really like, oh, I want to be a puppeteer. Oh, yay, be a puppeteer. You know, like there's always
play
something.
With dolls all day.
Yeah, you know, like come on, you're gonna be wasting your time. You know what I mean? And I love that your parents didn't do that. They pushed you and encouraged you, and I think it's just like an example to all of us of what we should be doing with our kids, because you never know. And I think like nowadays, I think everybody can be anything that they really want to, right? Anything.
I mean, I just said recently, I said, if I can, you know, live out my dreams, traveling around the world, eating world-class food, traveling and with puppet, you can probably do whatever you want. You know, it's such a niche specific thing that I was my passion. I don't know. It was just something that I had to follow, and I couldn't do anything else. And I had people around me that were able to support that and feed that. And I mean, my husband is the biggest supporter of both of us when we first, you know, were starting out. Like I said, we were in a one bedroom apartment and I was doing very, very low budget projects. with puppets, and it was taking up as much as my time as it took up. And my husband was supporting us, you know, and he was just working random odd jobs. He's done every job you can imagine. he laid bricks. He a restaurant. Like, he's done everything to support this dream, and eventually it ended up taking over. And now we both are our own business owners. Like, we both have our own company. And I say this all the time. I was like, if you're gonna dream big, but dream specific. Because he always thought, I want to be my own business owner. I want to own my own business. But he never said, he didn't, like, I want to own my own puppet business. So he got his dream and I got my dream.
Amazing.
That is so beautiful. How did you meet your husband? How did you, do you remember the first time you saw him? How did you meet? Yes. I love hearing those stories of how people meet.
It was really cool. And we both went to the same summer camp, and it was it's called Lorenzo de Zavala Youth Legislative Session, and it was in Chicago. And we both went there. And the first time I met him, I was climbing up these stairs to get to lunch. And he was at the top of the stairs with a friend. He was greeting everybody saying, hi, my name is Matias Farias, and I'm running for president. And so that's what I was greeted at the age of 16, just intense confidence. And I had not ever came into contact with that as a 16-year-old in Texas, like back home. And it just, like, both of us just clicked. It just felt like electricity. And from that moment on, we just kind of always stayed in touch through AOL Instant Messenger at the time.
Yeah.
and we grew together. We just always kind of checked in with each other, you know. And you're aware, like, you know, relationships starting out so young, you either grow with each other or you grow apart. And we just so happen to have grown together over the course of so many years, and we're still here.
So did you date right away, or were you friends and then, you know, dated other people, then reconnected? Yeah. I want to know about your love story.
Yeah, we stayed in touch, like, throughout high school till we graduated. We were friends. And he actually came to my prom. Because I never really dated, ever. I was too busy with my French horn. I played French horn for 7 years, and I was in it, and I was intense about it. And I was the drum major. I was everything in high school. If you like, ask me, what were you this? Were you that? Yes. I was an overachiever, and I overprepared myself for college, I say. So, like, I didn't have time for boys. I see all my friends around me, and they're getting heartbroken, and they're just wasting their time. I don't want that. So when I first met him, I was like, this guy. that,
you know, so, what you want, Michelle. You've always know what you want.
Yeah. And you know, we were friends. We would write letters, we call each other up. And then I came out to college here, and then we became boyfriend girlfriend, started dating, and then after college we started our life together. And then we got married pretty early, like I don't want to say what year that was. Sheesh. I feel like we're going to have our 15-year anniversary soon or something. Jeez.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So now we have two babies. Yeah. Okay. So this is, I mean, the story of becoming a mama and the timing of everything, like, geez, I could just talk all day with you ladies. But
when we met you, only had one.
One, yes, and I wasn't pregnant.
Yeah, right. Like, I was like,
and I had done the segment with Bricia already, so when I got the call to be Waffles, and that moment happened, which was amazing, just one of those calls that I knew this is going to change the course of my life. This is the dream role of a lifetime, an opportunity of a lifetime, and I wasn't gonna, you know, like, it was just amazing. My daughter was one, so. Within 2 months, I was on a plane to Japan from getting that call. And my husband held down our business and held down our family life and taking care of our daughter, who was one at the time, you know. And we don't have really any family nearby except for my sister, who lives near San Diego. But it was tricky to figure out. But he also recognized, he's like, this is your time, mama. Like, you go. Mm-hmm. You go and you shine. And like, that's how he's always been with me throughout this whole process. Like, to find a person like that
I know. I got all teary eyed.
Me too. I did.
But it's because we're at this place in our life now, you know, that we're able to really accept and understand what's happening around us and own it. Like you mm-hmm. in the beginning, you were telling me you must be so proud of yourself. And I was like, yes, I am. And if you asked me that question, maybe in my 20s, I'd have been like, oh, no, it's nothing. I'm okay. No. Like but now I can accept it and I can own it and, you know, understand that yes, we have done a lot to get to where we're at. And when I was on that plane to Japan, I was like by myself. I didn't have my family or anything. I was just like plucked out and go live your dream. I was on the plane and I had a moment where I was like, this is my time. Oh. I felt like, especially being a mama and those first couple of months and the first year of being a mama,
yeah,
you give so much of yourself. Mm-hmm. There's so many days that I remember feeling like I've given everything I have today, everything. And being there, I was able to really enjoy the moment and be like, this is, you know, this is my kind of like the universe saying, well done, mama, you go have fun, you go do live your dream, you know?
That's amazing.
So she was one at the time. And then we wrapped shooting. And then literally we got everything shot just in time before quarantine. Mm-hmm. And then quarantine happened. And even before I got cast as Waffles, me and my husband were already planning to have another baby. But once we got that call, it just wasn't the right timing because of so much travel that I was having to do. So when quarantine hit, we were like, well, I don't think this is going to be over soon. And I think we're going to be, you know, here for a while. So it seemed like the right time to do it.
And then you did it.
Yeah.
And then you got to doing it.
That's right. I got a daughter. Her name's Ellie. She's now 3. And my son Milo is 2 months.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
So you gave birth to two babies simultaneously.
Absolutely. Yes. It was so much of a waiting game, waiting for the show to finally drop because everything was pushed back so much mm-hmm. because of the quarantine, because of the pandemic. I did all of my ADR voiceover in quarantine here. And it just pushed so much of the deadlines kept going back of when the show is going to launch. So I just felt like, you know what? I just feel like I'm going to have this baby and then that baby's going to come too. So everything's mm-hmm. just going to come all at once and it's going to be one big boom. And it was, and it is.
So tell us how that phone call happened, how that phone call that changed your life happened and everything that happened with Waffles and Mochi. Because I mean, you know, my sister invited me and my kids to be a tiny part of that. And it was just at that moment, I don't think, you know, it clicked. Until mm-hmm. now, and as I was telling you earlier, my kids say, I have a Netflix show. You know, that's what they say.
Yeah, they do. Yes, they do.
They're like, I have a Netflix show. And so, it's such an amazing show. I'm not just saying it because you're here. It's just, I really do feel that when I watch all the episodes on the show, it's such mm-hmm. a like full-hearted show, you know, and it's about food, but it's also about learning and it just takes you places and it's so well put together. I mean, you know, you got to work with Her Majesty and it was such an amazing show. But what was it like for you? Like how did that happen?
Yeah. So I had worked with Jeremy Connor, who is one of the creators of the show, along with Erica Thormelin. I had worked with him on a commercial years and years and years ago when I was doing art department. I was making a bunch of stuff on set and he just kind of saw what I was doing and I made a quick puppet out of nowhere for his commercial. And then he just started following me on Instagram. We followed each other throughout the years. And then mm-hmm. when this show came about, he gave me a call right away. He said, Michelle, I have this show with puppets. What do we do? And so I was in the beginning development with them of exploring mm-hmm. all the different types of ways that a puppet could eat. Or how would we would even approach this style? Like, would it be a glove style puppet, like the Swedish Chef, or, you know, using real hands or rods? There's so many choices that need to be made. And then a whole year went by and I came back around and I just kind of like came, sent Priya, who's the head at the Higher Ground production. And I sent her a message and say, hey, just checking in, seeing how everything's going with the show. And she said, oh my gosh. She said, let's have coffee. Let's talk. And she basically told me, you know, there's this thing that's happening and we're trying to cast the show. And we actually are tossing your name around to be the Waffles. And I said, what? I didn't know she was going to be a she, because it was so early in development. We didn't know if it was going to be a she or he or what. And the fact that they came back around and thought of me, they were like, hey, do you want to come in for a callback? I said, sure. Yes. So I sent my callback in, and then I came back in a couple times. And then when I got that call, it was Priya saying, do you want to be our Waffles? And in that moment, I just like felt my whole body just like get so excited and like whoosh, like knowing this is going to be a wild, amazing adventure of my life. And I said, at first I was like, no. And she said, are you saying no? Are you saying yes? I was like, yes. It was a lot of emotions. It was just the most amazing moment. And from then on, I had this understanding from the very beginning, just knowing that Her Majesty, Michelle Obama was connected to it. And you know, their production company, I just knew it was going to be super, super special. And I needed to be a part of it.
Did you know she was going to be a part of the show, or did you just think it was going to be produced by the family, or did you always know I'm going to be in set with her? Like I'm going to meet her.
Oh, no. I think in the beginning it was, I just knew that she was a part of the, you know, like the show, like she was the one helping to make this happen. I think once we started seeing the scripts, I was like, who's this character here? because they had a suit
store owner, right?
Yeah, like, store owner.
Who's the store owner?
Who's gonna be this? And who's gonna be this? And then once they told me, I was like, wait. I'm gonna be in all these scenes, all these scripts, sitting right next to knee to knee with Mrs. Obama. Yeah, that was a moment that I was like, oh my gosh, this doesn't happen. What is this? Yeah. You know, what is this life? There's so many moments where we did a press junket recently for the show, and I'm in a Zoom just with Mrs. O and the interviewer, and in between we're just like talking, bantering, and I'm just like, what is this life? Who?
Oh my God!
What is happening? This is amazing. And can I get some of your sparkle? Just like let it come on me, please.
Yeah. That was my next question. What is it like working with her? What is she like?
What does she smell like? And how soft is her skin?
Oh gosh. I mean, I don't know if I got that close to her, but maybe just me and a couple hugs.
Like she knows you by name, Michelle. She's like, oh, that's Michelle. That was so Michelle.
Yeah.
The reason I asked Michelle is because I remember the moment. This is, and I was in high school. I went to Virgin Records to see Jennifer Lopez. She was doing the album release for her J-Lo, My Love Don't Cost a Thing. And I climbed on a pole and I reached my hand out and she touched my hand. And like, that was the softest hand I ever touched in my entire life. Probably softer than my daughter's, probably softer than my baby. And I could smell her from like where I was standing on the pole. I was like, wow. I just think like that's the way Michelle Obama must have the softest skin and must have like the nicest smell.
Well, first of all, Jennifer Lopez probably hasn't made a puppet in her lifetime because my hands are not that soft. yes, she is. I mean, everything you can imagine and not like there's no way to prepare yourself to meet someone as amazing and beautiful and radiant as she, you know, the thing about being able to hold space with this kind of human being is there's so much like prep and they prepare you ahead of time. And we all had to get vetted as puppeteers that we can even be in the same vicinity as her, you know. Because there's Secret Service that had to like check us in every day when she was on set. And there's so much buildup for a moment to meet someone that when she finally comes to set, everybody, like all the crew, everybody's just like, you know, like, and then me, when I first, I was down low, you know, and she's up high. Get it?
Yeah.
I was low and she was high. No, but she reached down her hand. Oh my God, this is so metaphorical. I didn't even think about this. She reached down her hand and she shook mine and she lifted me up. She elevated me to the stratosphere.
It is so metaphorically.
It's a metaphor. That's what she did. And that's what she's been doing this whole production. She has been lifting up amazing people and talents and diversity. And it is a metaphor, but that's exactly what happened. I just remember that moment. I'm Michelle. Hi, I'm Michelle. And she's like, wait, you're Michelle? I was like, yeah, I'm Michelle. But
I can change my name if you want. Do you want me to change? I can totally change my name.
Yeah, I can change it. You call me whatever you want. No. And from that moment on, she just has this ability to really make you feel in spite of all that fluff around her, all that glitter and glow and that they prep you for and that she holds, you know, she has the ability to calm you and make you feel like you're like, hey, I'm just a human being, you know, I'm a person too. You're a person. We're here together, you know, let's have some fun. And so eventually we were all just able to just like relax and kind of relax with her. And like we really built up a great relationship, all the puppeteers and her. It was really fun. And I just love the fact that I can be in the same space.
Can I tell you something, Obama, though?
Well,
can I tell you something?
Yeah.
You know, usually when we used to record episodes live, right? And people would come in and then I would feel these like energy from people, like such a like happy energy. And even though we are on a Zoom, I can tell you that you've given me goosebumps ever since like we started talking. And so you have that energy. Like you just make me happy. Like you're such like a happy person. You have that energy within you. I just want to tell you like you have that too. It takes somebody like really with really light energy to be able to, you know, como se dice, like pass on that through through your work. Because I think that's why a lot, we love Michelle Obama, we love her, but the show is not really about her. It's about like the food and it's about, you know, and the work that you do it translates through the screen. So, you know, I want to tell you that, like that, like, honestly, you almost made us cry. You've made us laugh. Like I have goosebumps. Like, it's just like, you are that kind of person. You have that energy as well.
Oh, thank you. I try to bring that to the character too of Waffles. I bring so much of myself, and it's interesting that you said that because like, yeah, when I first read the scripts, I was like, that's something I would do. I would do that. Yep. And like, so I don't know if you know what can first Waffles or me, because we're both kind of one and the same person, like the way we approach life, we approach situations. I throw myself right into situations and then I'm like, oh, what am I doing? So a lot of her and what comes through the puppet as her character is just an amplified, elevated version of myself. You know, it's coming from something that's rooted in me and in something that's real. But yeah, thanks for that. I also, with Viva La Puppet and the puppets that we create, like for Waffles and Mochi, we created and designed Busy the Bee, Steve the Mop, and we helped make Shelfie. And when we're making any puppet, I always have this thing over the years, I've noticed that if I'm feeling good and I'm feeling great about this process and this particular project, and I'm feeling like fulfilled, it translates in the puppet. I remember there was a time where I was working on a project and I wasn't really like that and excited about it. And the puppets didn't really have didn't have a smile, or they didn't really have any like joy in their faces. But then later when I started making stuff for myself or like on a project that I was so excited about, the puppets were smiling. And I was like, whoa, this is like super subtle, but it shows you that the energy you put into something, it really does translate to the person on the other end, you know, whether it's in a way of your work, your life, your kids, your every part of life, you know? And so That's something that's interesting that you just brought up.
I love that. I love that.
I have one last question. Did you always know that this was going to happen to you? And how many times did you doubt yourself? How many times did you think, I'm probably not going to get that? And then you did. Like, because I know that there's so many of us who have so many dreams and ambitions, right? And the rough is a long and hard road. And yeah. Someone looks at you and, you know, they may think, oh, it was probably so easy. She always, you know, that's all she did. So, you know, obviously it happened, but there's so much that happens. And what have you done in moments of adversity? And have you ever doubted yourself? And did you think you were going to get this, or did you doubt? Were you always like, I'm definitely going to get this job? Or were you like, I don't know if I'm going to ever get this. Like, I want to know what you were feeling inside and how you got over it.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a long journey, a long puppet journey for me. I've made hundreds and hundreds of puppets over the years. And I've devoted so much of my life to this art form. And along the way, I got pushed down. I got my ego crushed into a pulp. And I've gone through so many projects and moments in my life where I doubted myself, of course. I thought, you know, yeah, this big dream that I have, where is it leading? Like, where am I going? What is this going to become? Am I going to find something that's going to fulfill my wildest dreams? Am I going to, you know, like always, like you dream big, but you never know if you're really going to ever see that come to fruition or come to life in your lifetime. Mm-hmm. And I always believed it was going to happen. No matter like how long it took or it's taken, you know, I've been doing this work for 21 years. And I just do it because I love it. And I feel like as long as I'm making puppets and bringing them to life, I'm living my most full self. And just before I got cast, I got, like my ego got crushed, like to the point where I was like devastated, like professionally. And it took me a long time to build myself back up and feel like I am okay. And I'm good. And my work speaks for itself. And when this audition came and this callback came and then the second callback came, I knew in my heart, I was like, this is my time. This is the moment, you know.
This is mine.
I mean, 20 years in the industry, this is mine.
Like it takes a long time to get, you know, slowly but surely, right?
Yeah. So absolutely. I've gone through so many ups and downs and so many glue gun burns and so many stabs to the finger with rods and like, you know, like all kinds of things. Like blood, sweat, and tears into puppets. It's what it takes. it's a lot of work, but you know, I stay at it with my husband and all the people that we bring into our world of Viva La Puppet. We stay at it because it's just so fulfilling seeing your work come to life. Like literally puppets come to life and they're on set and they're just characters. They're alive. It's a magical thing that can happen in our life. You know, that these creatures can exist in our world and Waffles can be maybe walking down your street one day, or, you know,
yeah, 100%. I just wanted to ask if you can give a little piece of advice to the moms out there, because, you know, as our kids are growing in a different world now and they have different dreams, like, you know, my kid wants to be a gamer and I'm like, I don't know, you know, but now, you know, I might actually, you know, encourage her to keep playing games. So, you know, what advice would you give moms? Like your mom did with you.
Yeah. What advice I would give to moms is coming from me as a mom and what my mom did with me and my sister, you know, like to be observant at a young age, even when they're 2 months old, like my son, he's showing me things that he's just naturally attracted to, or just like naturally like things that he wants to do. Or just like my daughter's so meticulous, like she likes to work with little tiny things, and I'm like, okay, noted. And then as they start to form as people, and they start to tell you their dreams and tell you, hey, I want to be a gamer. You know, it's easy to be like, ah, you'll never make it in that town, kid. It's easy to just say that. But the thing is, it's just like with Waffles and what I do with the show is there's so much improv in this show that I have to yes. And so not to say that his dream's not going to evolve and change. It's going to start as a gamer, but anybody that's gone to college knows that you change your major over and over because you're still trying to figure it out. It's an evolution of figuring and forming yourself that, you know, like he's a gamer. He wants to be a gamer now. Yes. And let's see where this leads, you know, like just, I think it's helpful to kind of approach that in terms of raising anyways my kids, because I've just noticed that if I can foster that little inner spark of joy that they get, it's gonna create a life worthwhile. It's gonna create their full selves, and they're gonna feel fulfilled in their 9-to-5. My 9-to-5 is designing and making puppets and bringing them to life all around the world. Eating from world-renowned chefs, like it's formed from a moment, a notion of like, I want to make a puppet, and my mom saying yes, and let's see what happens, you know. So if I can say any advice, I'd just be like, go, be your beautiful selves and follow your joy.
Oh my God, you're so amazing.
Beautiful, Michelle. Thank you
so much. Welcome.
Go follow your joy is actually so much more powerful than go follow your dream. So thank you for that.
So true. Thank you, Michelle. Please let our moms know where they can find you, where they can find all this inspiration. Where can we,
mamas?
Can you like just call us every day and just like give us like the word of the day or something like that?
I'll come to the restaurant,
just like a minute, like. You know, pick me up and then that's it. Like you can.
Yeah. I love your restaurant, by the way. Absolutely. I would love to. You can find me in our company, Viva La Puppet. You can find me on Instagram at Michelle Zamora Official or at Viva La Puppet, which is our company. And on the internet, Viva La Puppet. Anywhere you see Viva La Puppet, that's us.
And awesome. Of course, watch Waffles and Mochi, which is streaming on Netflix. All episodes are, you know, all live episodes. And again, mom, it's not just because Michelle is here or because we had a very small part in the show, but it's just because it's one of the best productions made for children for the entire family.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Streaming anywhere. So 100%. Please watch.
Plus, it's you just heard Michelle, like all of that, she puts it on the screen. So if you guys want more of that. Go watch the show.
Yes. Come watch us on Netflix, Waffles and Mochi. And, it's just a super fun food adventure, you know, show. So it's just helping everyone in the family reconnect and tap back into the wonderment of food and exploring ingredients, exploring cooking again and gathering around the table like we did at your house. It was amazing. Like that, if anything can come from the show, it's just like reconnecting to food in a positive and new way.
Yeah, 100%.
It was so incredible. Thanks, girl, for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here.
Go back to being a mama. Go, you have a 2-month-old, for God's sake.
A 2-month-old, yep.
Thank you for taking the time. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Back to you, Michelle.
Let me take off my makeup.
Have a great girl.
Bye.
Hey, Supermamas. Paulina and Brisa here. We just want to remind you to rate and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, follow us on Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Also, have you seen us rocking our Super Mama swag? Well, we want you to join in. Use promo code SMPODCAST at checkout on supermamas.com/swag for 15% off your next order. Again, that's code SMPODCAST on supermamas.com/swag for 15% off. Okay, now back to the show.
And we are back on the show. We've interviewed so many people, and I say this a lot, but honestly, she's been one of my favorite people to interview. She has such a good energy and it transfers through the screen. I cannot even imagine what it would be like to be in the same room with her. She has that.
I mean, you were in the same room with her when she was here. It's funny when you said that, you're like, I can't wait to be in the same room with you. I'm like, you were.
Yeah, but it was a different thing. Like, cause you know, it was work. And yeah. You know, we didn't really have a chance to really conversate with her back when we did the video shoot, but like just getting to know her more, like it was great. Her house would be super fun.
She has such a like light, wonderful spirit. And I think that just
love it.
Has to do with like her being so in touch with her inner child and creative. Aside from her creativity, I think she just has like a beautiful, tender soul and you can totally see it. Mm-hmm. What an incredible interview. All right, Paulina, what is your pick of the week this week?
Okay, so I have a pick for you guys for the youngest one in your homes. I've been trying to encourage my kids to start journaling, and I wanted to find something age appropriate for all three of them. So Krista has journaled before. She likes it. She's into it. She's actually told me that she just wants like a notebook to journal at this point, which I thought it was pretty awesome. But I wanted to start. Great. Yeah. But I wanted to start Sabina and Sixta too on it. And so I was looking all over. I searched through many ones, but I found this journal. It's called the 3-Minute Gratitude Journal for Kids, a journal to teach children to practice gratitude and mindfulness. It's super cute. It has, for example, every page has like the date, and then it says, I am thankful for, and it has three lines for the kids to put what they're thankful for. And then it has, this person brought me joy today. And, you know, it's usually mommy, you know. And then it says, I feel, and then it has like happy face, not, you know, and it goes to like sad. And then at the bottom, it has a space for them to draw their favorite part of the day. It's super simple. She has enjoyed doing it every night. It's not like,
oh, I love that.
Yeah, I'm not forcing her. You know, I thought I was going to have to be like, you have to do it, or, you know, reminding her, but she's like, mom, my journal. And so it's easy because she's at that age, she's six, where she loves to draw, and it's just like happy face. I'm, you know, happy, sad face. So it's been I bought one for her, and I knew that six that was going to want to doodle. I got two. They're actually $6. So they're not super expensive. I got it on Amazon, and so far they're liking it. They're really, really enjoying it. So I think journaling has really helped me. I'm done with my second book, which is like never in my life.
So proud.
Yeah. And, so yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. I really like it.
Oh my gosh. I need to get one of those.
Yeah. It's super cute.
Okay, awesome. So my pick is going to be also, I'm doing more baby stuff recently, which, oh, look at me.
I wonder why.
Yeah, well, I do have a baby. But here's the thing. As a second mom, you're kind of like already over stuff. You know, you don't really believe in anything. And then you find something you like, you're like, oh my God, this is awesome.
What do you mean you don't believe in anything?
Yeah, like all this they sell you. As you first, you know, you have your first kid, yeah. You're like, I don't need this.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, true. There's so many, like, for example, like, listen, if you all have a baby bullet, good for you.
Yeah.
Or I remember one of my friends gave me this contraption that like steams the food and then grinds it. It's like this, it's like one machine that does it all. I'm like, why?
Just get a food processor.
Dude, just mash it with your hands. Forget it. I mean, you know what I mean? Just
with
like,
a fork.
Yeah. Like, steam it and smash it. Anyway, but again, I understand that you're a first time parent, like you get all the contraptions. Totally cool. Just letting you know, you don't need a specific baby thing. Also, one thing I don't believe in, it's like baby bottle washers, which maybe like that was my pick, say 5 years ago, probably. I probably had a pick like, I love the baby organics, like something to wash my bottles with. Like, why would a baby need a different type of soap?
May, if mom's with you, she probably would have buy one, a different one for the baby.
Like, soap is soap, though.
I don't know. I don't know.
Like, why do babies need specific soap?
Well, do you have a different baby soap for her clothes?
Yeah, but that's only because of the smell.
Exactly. It's the same thing. It smells like baby.
No. Yeah, but a bottle?
I don't know.
Is the bottle going to smell like baby?
Yeah, no. I mean, again, no.
I don't know. I like it because the soap, like, the, you know what I mean? It's like, smells like it. I just got it because of the smell. It's got like that signature baby smell.
I love that smell. I want to do my clothes with that.
Yeah.
Is it the draft?
Yeah, because it smells like baby, you know? Like, yeah. It smells like baby. Otherwise, yeah. I would just use Woolite because that's what I use in all my clothes. It's just like something that just, why? Anyway, but when you find something that you like, you're like, oh, I wish I would have had this before. She is going through now her gums and teething and biting. So this is called Nature Bond Baby Food Feeder / Fruit Feeder Pacifier / Infant Teething Toy Teether.
Oh, wow.
Includes additional silicone sacs. So it's like, that's literally the name of it on Amazon. So it's a toy teether that looks like a pacifier that has texture in the outside and has little holes. So you can actually put a frozen fruit in there and she grabs it and she like eats the fruit through the pacifier.
Yeah.
And it's really big so she can hold it with her hands easily. And she just sits there and she chews on it until like there's no more fruit. And she doesn't, and she can't choke on it either, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes, and I understand baby weaning is like, I think I'm personally still not doing baby weaning because she doesn't sit by herself yet. I'm waiting for her to actually sit up. And once she sits up, she's like on her own. But, and because I can put frozen fruit, you can also put ice chips in there.
Yeah.
To help them soothe their gums. So she can actually have frozen fruit.
Frozen cold milk.
Sure. I'm not pumping anymore.
Oh yeah. But,
yeah. You can totally do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Before that's the new version. Before it was like a mesh. So this is, I saw the picture. It's so much better.
Yeah. I never did that with Eduardo, but this is, it's so,
it's cool.
Great. Like, I wish I would have had this with Eddie. I'm all about it. I vouch for it as a second mom.
As a second mom. You should, yeah. That's a second.
Yeah, one. Like if I had another baby, like I would probably keep this for the third baby for sure. It's definitely a winner.
Are you having a third baby?
You know, you never know what could happen. What if I'm pregnant right now?
Maybe. You know, maybe.
If I win the lottery, I'll have another baby.
You already won the lottery, Brissette. Look at your life. Look around you.
You're right. No, I mean like financially.
Oh, okay, that's different. Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, in that case, if I win the lottery before Monday, then, you know, he's not going through with it. If something happens, you know, pues ya es de Dios. I mean, what can I do? Si gano la lotería, es porque Dios quería que tuviera yo un hijo.
Yeah, exactly. So the other day I was having a conversation with my friends and I was like, I'm totally good with two children. Like, I like my life right now. That being said, if someone calls me and tells me, oh my God, guess what? Like, your tia is the queen of England. I'm going to be like, pregnant for the rest of my life.
For real. Have we got kids left and right? I'm like, let's go.
I'm going to stay pregnant.
We need to, what do you call it? Va a continuar el kingdom, you know?
Si el legado.
Reina, you know, we have to.
Oh, well, not because of that. I just been like, I will be loaded. And yeah. I mean, could get lots too. Of help.
That too. By the way, I have been super obsessed with the royalty. I've never in my life cared for them, ever.
Uh-huh.
But now I'm kind of obsessed with them. I mean, I'm kind of obsessed. Oh my God. With,
you know that Diana's life is the saddest life ever.
I haven't got there yet. I'm watching The Crown.
What?
I haven't gone there yet.
You haven't gone to Diana's life? Have you seen any of her documentaries?
Yeah. I mean, yes. But like I said, it was like in a different context. Now that I know about the monarchy and all of that stuff and the rules and all of that, it's a different
thing. You should definitely watch her documentaries and like She lived a very, very sad life. So sad.
So, I mean, they're all live really sad lives.
True.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if I want to be the Queen of England anymore. I don't know if I want to be a queen. I don't know if I want to be a queen anymore. I don't know.
Yo soy la reina de mi casa. Let me tell you, it's a lot of work.
Yo soy la reina de casi toda mi casa. Casi. Anyway.
All right. Well, that's the show this week, ladies. I hope we didn't disappoint, and I hope you all enjoyed.
I will catch you guys up next week on how are things going. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Hey sisters, thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram at _supermamas and on Twitter, also at _supermamas, and in el Face at supermamas podcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your super mama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline 424-329-3707 and leave us a message, or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love, and
see you next week. Super Mamas!